It's not so much teaching tonight as I just want to share my heart a little bit as the church leader, where Trish and I are at and where we think the church is at, where we think the Lord is wanting to take us as a church. And I just want to start with a story, and it revolves around this picture here, which will appear on the screen. That is a cup of coffee. Who likes coffee? Who drinks coffee? Put your hand up if you drink coffee. Okay. Who really likes coffee? A few of you. Hands down. Who drinks tea? It's the same in the evening as it was in the morning. There was an overwhelming sense of a tea-gathered people. And this morning was the same. It's just tea. So who drinks herbal tea? Yeah, what is that about? I've never understood herbal tea. Would you like some hot water with some grass in it? I mean, I've tried them all. I just can't get it. Who drinks decaffeinated things here? Put your hands up if you're a decaf people. Okay, somebody said to me recently, decaf coffee. Oh, yes. That's disappointment with milk in it. We're decaf in our house, so we're decaf. I was on a train recently, and the lady came down with a trolley. I said, have you got decaf tea? So she said, no, I've got mint tea. I said, no, that's not the same. It's decaf tea. Have you got decaffeinated tea? Have you got a decaf tea bag? She went, I can give you mint tea, or I can give you raspberry tea, or I can give you a pot of boiling water. Oh, and I'll have coffee. So I said, no, you do decaf. She said, no, not a big call for decaffeinate on an East Midlands Railways. So there you go. So I was in a coffee shop recently with my wife, Tricia, and we were having a cup of coffee. We were sharing one because we couldn't afford to because we give all our money to the church. And Tricia's a cappuccino person. I'm more now moving into a decaf Americano with hot milk. But we're in this coffee shop. And by the way, the thing about money, God never, ever lays guilt on people, but he does convict. He does convict. And you know, this thing of we can all afford something. When I see little pledge, well, same size, but when I see pledge forms, I don't know how much people give. I know who gives. I know who puts forms in because it's my job. But when I see pledge forms from children in our church giving from their pocket money, don't anybody come up to me and say, I can't afford to do that because I ain't listening to you. If somebody can put £2 a week in from their pocket money, we can all put something in out of the mouths of babes. Anyway, so we're having a cup of coffee, and this verse came into my mind. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, verse 8. And it just came into my mind, and we're chatting away, Trish and I, and well, this verse is there, and I'm looking around thinking, I wonder how many people in this coffee shop have tasted and seen that the Lord Jesus is good. I wonder how many people in this coffee shop would love to taste and see that the Lord Jesus is good. I wonder how many people in this coffee shop are struggling at the moment. The saying is true. Smile at everyone you meet because you've no idea what battles they are facing that day. You've no idea. I've been a pastor a long time. I say to all the people who on our team and people who I've trained over the years, never assume anything of anybody because it's 100% you'll be wrong. You don't know what's happening in somebody's life. I'm thinking, how many people in this coffee shop know God, know Jesus, or actually if they could know Jesus, their lives would be so different. And the psalmist is saying here, taste, the words are important, taste and see that the Lord is good. The word good there means wonderful or beautiful. So the psalmist is saying, when you come to God, you will see that Yahweh, we know him as Jesus, the Lord, he is good, he is beautiful, he is wonderful. And that's the testimony of the Christian faith. So we're having this coffee, and then I thought, well, actually, that's not a good description of God. This is a better description of God in the coffee kind of thing. This next picture here, there we go. God is not a coffee, he's two coffees and a cake. You get more with Jesus. I did this morning. Give me a show of hands if you would eat that cake if it came before you. Taste and see that the How do we do that? What was going around in my mind? How do we actually help people taste and see that the Lord is good? How can we do that? And two things, and this is our vision at this church for next year. In two ways. And the first one, if we go back to the breaking glass, break the glass ceiling, we'll leave the top one, we've covered that one. The first way we can help people taste and see that Jesus is beautiful and wonderful is invitation. It's to invite them. And the way we're going to do that is twofold. It's very practical, this. It's the beginning. Vision is next year, but we're going to start at Christmas. And the great big Christmas invitation is here. Join us Christmas 2019. Join us at Alpha in February 20. And we are going to be giving out, we've got, they'll be ready next week, hopefully, 2,000 invitations to give out for Christmas gatherings here, and 2,000 invitations to Alpha, which is an introduction to the Christian faith. Theme this Christmas is hope this Christmas. There's a great video that's the media guys have already got going. Christmas here, if you, well, I know some of you have to go home, but for those who don't, Christmas is a pretty spectacular thing here at this church. We are so big on Christmas. We love the Christmas stuff, big tree in the corner, and Jesus is presented every time we can. And so this theme, this year's theme is hope this Christmas. So again, if every adult in this church took 3 invites and gave them to someone, that would be over 2,000 invitations we'd be giving out. And so Trish and I, we've got ours. Some people we know, one is from another faith, another person is kind of not into church, and the other one's a Catholic. And that's what he said to me. We go every now and again. So I thought, well, perfect for Alpha. So if we give 3 invitations to Christmas, now whether people come or not is not up to you, it's up to God, it's up to Jesus. Now, you need to do it positively, not, do you want to come to our Christmas services? The vicar have told me to give some invites out. It's not very good, but if you want to come, you can come. Probably a bit more than that, you know? That would be good. So we're going to ask everybody to give a minimum of 3 invitations out. Because one day in heaven, when we get there, some it's nearer than others here. But then again, we don't know when that day is going to be. We want to be able to say to the Lord, I didn't do a lot, Lord, but I invited some people to Christmas at our church. I invited some people on the Alpha course. Only one came, but and the Lord will say, well done. Or even worse is when people we know, because we never got round to it, that one day, because this is what Christians believe. If you believe in Christ, you go to heaven. If you don't, you don't. That what if some people that we knew actually said after they'd died, after they'd left this earth, and they were not in heaven, but somewhere else, namely hell, and actually said, why didn't you tell me about God? Why didn't you tell me about church? Oh, sorry, I was a bit embarrassed. I didn't think you'd want to come. I'd have come. Look where I am, stoking the boilers down here. So we have a responsibility to invite people. So that's the first thing. We're going to invite lots and lots of people. And I was doing some stats the other day that I looked these up. 2 years ago, it was estimated there were nearly 23,000 coffee shops in the UK. Costa is the largest one, followed very closely by Starbucks, believe it or not, all the kind of chain ones. But two and a half years ago, there were nearly 51,000 churches, twice as many. I think we could say that we are a coffee nation. Well, why aren't we a churchy nation? There's twice as many outlets for God than there are for coffee. Why? Who wants to go to a church? Rather go to a coffee shop. It's more fun. It's got more relevance. You need confidence in the place you're bringing people. I hope you've got confidence to bring people here, because this is a good place to bring them to hear about Jesus. So there's this great invitation. And then on Alpha next year in February, we haven't done this for a while, but Tricia and I, usually the team members lead it, Tricia and I are leading Alpha in February. And we're praying that on Alpha in February, there'll be a daytime and an evening one. No less than 500 people are on the Alpha course. That's 500. It's good when we get 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. It's great. And 70, fantastic. 500 is the minimum. If we don't get 500, I'm knocking on the doors of heaven. And I'll be knocking on other people's doors as well. 500 we're going to pray in. There are 632,000 people in Sheffield, and there are nearly 70,000 students in the two universities. I think we can make 500, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's like chicken feed. I actually think God's looking down and going, oh, you have little faith. So the great invitation is going to go out. That's how we ask people to come and see and taste and see Jesus. If we bring them, God will meet with them. The second way is that once we invite them, we're going to welcome them, and this is how we're going to do that. One of the things this church has developed is what we call missional communities, mid-sized groups, clusters we call them, this kind of group that's bigger than a cell group. And we've got these groups, I mean, Walkley, and there's one here at Firvale, and off we go. They're around the city. And then they started to kick in, and we started to release a few more around the city of Sheffield. And then it really speeded up, and they really started dropping all over the place here. Students started doing it, and everybody started doing it. And in the end, we got nearly 60 around the city, 60 midweek communities. But we're at a time now where we are looking to expand and multiply, that these communities would have a new focus. The first focus would be to connect, and the second would be to have an impact. Connect and impact. So yes, it's a place where people come to hear about Jesus at church here or whatever, but we're inviting them into these groups to connect. But also, those groups are not just inward. They're going to have an impact in the local community or in their friendship groups or in their university halls or campus or in their schools or wherever. And we're asking every cluster to have a minimum of 3 impact events every year. Might be a Love Sheffield, it might be out cleaning the streets, it might be giving water bottles away, might be hanging around after clubs get turned out and making sure people get home safe. It could be anything at all. If we do that, we'll have way over 100 events, impact events a year, affecting the life of this city practically. So it's not just, oh, they're just a church group who meet in the week and do their stuff. It's they're a church group who do their stuff out in the city and make a difference in the city. So that's what we're going to do with those. And tomorrow evening, there's a cell leaders training evening. So I said this morning, I felt the Lord speaking to me very strongly yesterday, is that we're throwing that open to anyone. Anyone who wants to come tomorrow evening, we're going to unpack some incredible new resources. I mean, they're amazing resources on leading cell and clusters. So these resources are to equip us, and we're going to open it up to anyone. And this is the criteria. Do you want to do more than just sit on your bum on a seat in church? Do you want to do something else? Do you want to be active? Do you want to be equipped by God, not just now, but in the years to come, to be a disciple who can make a difference and disciple other people? Even when the little voice goes, this is not for you, don't go. And the other voice is very quietly going, go on, go. Because tomorrow we're launching, we thought we were just going to have a cell leaders training event, but I think it's the launch of this new initiative. I think the Lord's going to release, if we have faith and break through the glass ceiling, I think by Easter we're going to be praying for 300 new people coming into the church, some brand new being saved on Alpha, 500 on Alpha, some people coming here already Christians, but God's going to bring them here to be part of this new initiative. And I believe we're going to start to see, instead of around 60, we're going to see 70, 75, 80 midweek communities. If that's for you, then why don't you come along tomorrow? The psalm goes on to say this: blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The word blessed there is extremely, incredibly, overwhelmingly happy. Do you feel happy? You don't look happy at the moment, some of you. I'm looking at you. Some of you look extremely not happy. Happy is the one who takes refuge, and the word there means trust. Happy is the person who trusts in God. And you know, I look around at the moment, and yeah, I was saying this morning, I suppose it's not been easy the last few months. I'm a pretty resilient person, a pretty resilient leader. Yes, my mantra is, get over it. Press on. Mick, I'm having a bad time. God will bless you. Get over it. Move on. I am actually a very good pastor. I can ask my wife, am I a good pastor? I'm a great pastor. I'm a great pastor. I just don't hang around too much. But actually, I think over the last few months, it's been difficult. I've found life difficult in all kinds of ways. And I assimilating why, over the years as a pastor, stuff gets thrown at you. People's, you know, you're a shepherd of the sheep. You care for people, and we have a team here that cares for our people. And when people's cares and woes are in with you, you learn how to take them to the foot of the cross and leave them with Jesus. But I suppose over these last weeks and months, I can think of at least six people who've got cancer. Quite a lot with cancer. Two that have been diagnosed as terminal. A young person, not in this church, we've known a long, long time, it's reoccurred again, not in Sheffield, reoccurred again in the 40s, 17-year-old daughter, it's in the bones, in the hip, working out the end of her life. It's just not fair. I've had a good rant and raved at God about that. It's not fair. Although she is listening to our podcast. She loved listening to our podcast and listening to HTB's podcast as well. She's learning how to connect again with God after drifting away. And again, over these past months, people whose relationships are under strain, thinking of divorce, whose children have drifted away from God. That's what breaks my heart. Trish and I have been here long enough to know little ones who come out of the frontier doing all the action songs in the morning with Jack and his team bouncing around at the front. And we've been here long enough now, nearly 20 years. They're grown up. And some are not with the Lord. Some have drifted away. And I see their parents and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And I was saying this morning, I'll say again tonight, we're in a stage now that as we're at a critical moment as a church to break through the glass ceiling, because I believe we need more workers and paid workers in this critical time to work with our teenagers in schools. The pressure on teenagers is immense. But actually, it just breaks my heart when I see these things, when I see young people that we've known dragged away by the culture, this culture which is affecting our young people, the evil of grooming, the evil of drugs. It's evil. It's wrong. It's wrong. And we need to stand against it. And I believe we're at a breaking glass moment. This hope that we're longing to see, it's our responsibility to do that. 2012, we had what we call in-house learning communities. All our clusters gathered together. We've not done them for a few years. And they gave their visions and dreams of where the church was going to be. And we photographed those. They're on a file. And it was fascinating to see. And where are we now? It said in 2011, 196 students. And by Christmas 2012, we're praying for 400 students. We have less than 100. So I'm challenging the student guys here. I'm challenging you. Just going to sit on your bum on a chair? Are we going to get stuck in? Are we going to mean business? Are we going to start inviting people? I'm going to start talking about our faith. Young adults. It was called Life Church. Called Life. It was exciting, and again, it was forming out of students who stayed on in Sheffield and other young adults who joined the church. And again, another flip chart. Their aspiration was by Christmas 2012 to have 250, and it's just about less than 100 again. Now, we're still 1,000 in the church, because there's others joined in other communities, young families and community church, and youth has grown. Back in 2012, there were 37 in youth church. And the workers have worked well and pioneered stuff, and we've really moved on with youth. It's amazing. But the challenge to us all is this. We have a call on our lives, if we're Christians, to invite people to taste and see the Lord is good. Until the day you take your last breath, until the day Trisha and I breathe our last breath, the breath before my last breath will be, do you want to come and taste and see that the Lord is good? Come along. It's time to do something great. And my final word is this, that if we're going to do something great, it's we do something great. And if you're 19 or 20 or 21, you need to get your degree if you're at university. Focus on your degree. Honor your parents or the people who love you. It's your responsibility to do that. But honor God. In the time in Sheffield, God wants to reform you into a disciple who makes disciples. You guys in youth church, you're missionaries in your school. You may not think you are, but you are. Young adults, put your hand up. Okay, in your small groups and cell groups this week, I want you to say to the rest of your people, where the heck were you on Sunday night? If you don't start coming on Sunday night, I'm knocking on your doors. There's 99 in the church. There ain't 99 here. I'm on a mission. I'm onto it like a rash. Time is short. It's the big invitation. We're going to see the breakthrough, or we're going to go down fighting.